All right, guys, I got my mic here. Is that right? I got it? Figured it out? Okay. You guys come on up here. I want to introduce you guys. It has been about 20 years. I've been in college for 19 years. I went to Word of Life Bible Institute, and then after that, I went to Liberty. By the way, I almost flunked out of sixth grade, didn't really care about college. My dad kind of made me go to college, and they didn't really think that I would amount to much. You know, I was a good kid and all, but academically not so much. So I went to Word of Life Bible Institute, then went to Liberty, majored in youth ministry, and I majored in biblical studies, and then after that went to Liberty Seminary, got a Master of Arts in Religion, a Master of Divinity, then went to Southeastern and Wake Forest, North Carolina, and got a Master of Theology, and then my PhD. So I've been in college for 19 years. But part of it was because they pulled me in to become a professor when I was 25 and kind of told me, if you want to keep this job, you got to get more education. So that kind of, you know, made me want to stick with it. But my greatest asset really is my family. Someone reminded me that just last week. There was a single guy, and he was just saying, you know, I think your best accomplishment in your life is your family. And the more that you get to know these guys, the more that you'll see that. Now, Jen, I don't really have too much credit for her other than the wisdom in picking her. But these boys are coming along, and they are very awesome boys. I won't make them say anything or do anything other than just stand here in their awesomeness. But I just wanted to let you guys see my awesome family, because sometimes people like to see that sort of thing. So thank you, guys. That's all you need to do. I appreciate you coming up. So it's been about 20 years since I've been here. I came in and out in college, you know, here and there visiting. But I intended to come back. For every reason, I tended to come back. But to this point, I've had other things going on, I guess. And you look back and you realize, man, time's really flown by. And now that I'm done with school, I'm thinking, oh, no, I want to get back to my community. And realize that was 20 years ago. So for me, I've been studying the Bible for quite some time. And as I'm studying through it, I'm learning more and more things. And I'm pretty fortunate because the church that I'm at presently has been a good church to me, and they've taught me a lot of things. Now, I have an affinity for this church because this is where I grew up, so this will always have a special place in my heart. But this church has been one that heals the brokenhearted in many ways, one that's truly seeking after the Holy Spirit, seeking after God, and biblically sound, but yet also open to the Spirit. And that's an interesting mix. Just a few things that I'm learning. I'm learning about what it means for your body to be a temple of the Holy Spirit, what it means to have living water flowing out from you. This isn't just simply a metaphor. This is something you actually can feel. I'm learning what Jesus meant when he said, "Come unto me, all you're weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I'm understanding suffering, sin, forgiveness, the law, the fruit of the Spirit, demons, the kingdom of God, in new but very ancient biblical ways. And most recently, something happened to me that was kind of amazing. My wife and I had a long time of fasting before we got married. We decided we wanted to do this together. And ever since then, I had fasted for a couple days here and there, nothing long. And then I went on a long 7-day fast, and I was talking to my classes about the Holy Spirit, and this was coming out of my own life and my own healing, because God's been doing a work for the last 3 years of my life. And one of the things I started telling my classes is if the fruit of the Spirit is not powerfully present in your life, then either the Holy Spirit isn't there or there's something blocking it. And I think for most of us in our congregations, if there's something blocking it, and we don't know how to get past that. And for me, one of the things that I struggle with a bit as a professor, after a while, people started comparing me. I don't know if you ever watched a TV show, House. They compared me to Gregory House. So the mean guy on the show. And after a while, I just thought, you know, I don't really think that sounds very Christ-like. And I realized that I actually despise the weak. If there was somebody that I thought wouldn't pull themselves up by their bootstraps, wouldn't do whatever it was that they needed to do, I didn't have time for them. I just thought, well, just, okay, go over there and do whatever you're going to do. We're going to go over here and be successful. And I was, you know, kind of taught to push through things. But I realized, well, that's not what Jesus did. He came to heal the brokenhearted, and he wasn't going to extinguish the flickering flame. He wasn't going to break the bruised reed. And I realized, well, maybe I'm just a different kind of Christian. You know, that's okay for me to be a little different here. But I went down through the fruits of the Spirit, almost like a spiritual checklist, and I thought, I don't have any of these in a powerful way. I mean, some people could say I have some of these things, but nothing powerfully. As a kid, we're taught about the fruit of the Spirit, and they show pictures of grapes and fruits hanging from a tree, and I kind of missed the point as a kid. These are more like superpowers. You know, if you think about it from that standpoint, you're in a situation, and you have gentleness, and people are like, how did you do that? It's a superpower. And if we think about these things, it's not us having superpowers, it's the Holy Spirit working through us. It's making it so that the Holy Spirit is able to powerfully work through us. And we think of, we're going to have communion today as part of our prayer. And what I want you to think a bit about, when we talk about sin, I think we have a bit of a skewed view of sin. I read some of the early church fathers, and one of the things that they talked about sin being is a lack of oughtness. And don't be intimidated by the word oughtness. It just means things do what they ought to do. So when God created the world, he created doing what it ought to do. It worked. It was in proper relationship with him. It was in proper relationship with one another. And when it falls away from this oughtness, that's really what the fall is falling away of oughtness. That's sin. It's things not working right. And what's interesting, the Holy Spirit's supposed to convict the world of sin, but notice that's the unsaved world he's convicting. But he's still going to guide us, but he's more than just a little Jiminy Cricket. So today, I want to talk a bit about some of the things that are going on in prayer, but also I want to lead you in some of these things, because as I'm getting these realizations, I'm realizing that I missed it. And if I missed it, studying the Bible for 20 years at this level, then many of us have missed it. So for me, though, recently, after I started talking to my students in this way, I was also being discipled and taught, you know, somewhat by the prayer team, somewhat by my wife, who's on a prayer team in our church, giving me books to read about prayer, and she would sometimes say, I don't know what to think about this, and she'd give it to me, and I'd read it. But I started realizing that I was going about prayer in a very weak way, almost like a wishing well or Santa Claus's lap, where I list my things, I praise him for his great beard, and then afterwards ask him for stuff, and it didn't work out so well. But now, what was interesting, after, as I was discipled and learning how to pray, as I started meeting with my students, amazing things were happening in prayer. After one session of sitting down and praying, people were receiving healing for things. They'd been going to a psychologist for years. People who were Christians, who were hating Jesus and hating God, fell on their face and accepted Christ right in front of me as I'm praying with them. People struggling with eating disorders that they didn't know were as big of a deal as they were. People struggling with anxieties that they didn't know what the source was. My wife says, slow down, right? That's what you're saying. That's the signal. Okay. All right, so I'm sorry. You can keep doing that. That'll help me out. These things, suddenly people are receiving healing for things. And I'm starting to pray with people sometimes 2 or 3 hours, and then they'll say, like, and I'll say, okay, don't open your eyes. How long do you think we've been praying? And they'll say, I don't know, 15 minutes. And it's because it's almost like them watching TV. What God is doing in their mind is so visual that it's like watching a movie, and they lose all track of time. So I want to lead you a little bit today and help you to understand a little bit more of where I'm coming from, and maybe help you to glean a little bit of what I've learned over the last 20 years, boiling it down, trying not to talk fast, but boiling it down a little bit at a time. So for me, as I come back to the community, this is what I bring back to you, are these things that I've learned, some of these very basic things that I missed. So to begin, there is a temple that's inside of all of us who've accepted Christ. You remember in the Old Testament, there was one temple. It was in Jerusalem. Couldn't be anywhere else. You had to go to Jerusalem. You couldn't do things like this. You couldn't have communion out anywhere you wanted. You had the Passover. It was in Jerusalem. It was very specific what you had to do, and it was very much with priests at a certain place at a certain time. Then Jesus comes along, and John the Baptist says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I baptize with water, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus comes along and he says, I'm leaving, but I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And I had a student that asked me a question one time. He said, it seems like the Holy Spirit's supposed to be a bigger deal than Jesus for us in the New Testament here. And it's better for us to have the Holy Spirit than to have Jesus walking with us. And he asked me, how's that the case? And I gave him a pretty good answer that pacified him. But it bothered me. For a couple years, it bothered me because I realized the Holy Spirit wasn't powerful like that in my life. And I thought, well, wait a minute. Maybe either this isn't real, or maybe I have missed it. And either one of those was a possibility in my mind, and I struggled back and forth. Should I seek after another religion? I know all this about the Bible, but maybe it's wrong. And so I started seeking through these things. But as I'm learning more and more about the Holy Spirit, the Bible talks about us being the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Paul gets in the context of sexual immorality, and sometimes people bring that from the Old Testament, bring a passage about not getting a tattoo in the New Testament. But usually we forget about it after that. But if you read ancient writers, they talk about this, and they cherish it, and it's powerful. This sanctuary is the place where heaven meets earth. It's the battleground. It's inside of us. It's not that the world's evil all around you. It's there's a battle that's going on inside of you. There is this holy place, and the problem is that this sanctuary is so overcrowded, it becomes like that room. I don't know if you guys have this. Many people have a room in their house they don't know what to do with. Like, what was this even for? And it ends up being the junk room. Everything goes in there. And that's what we've done with this inner sanctuary of our soul. And so sometimes when you're in the quietness and you busy your mind so you don't think about this, but when you're in the quietness, there's something that's nagging and bothers you. And you don't recognize this as a sanctuary because it's a wasteland. It's where you dump all of your junk. And churches will often talk about the idea of feelings, and you can't go by feelings because feelings change. Well, your thoughts change too. And when it comes to feelings, some of us have had the same emotions for years, many, many years, and we have the same nagging emotions that underlie. And whenever we go to bed at night, there are some people who can't go to sleep at night because those nagging things are there. There's one man that I prayed with, and he had not slept for 15 years. And he had slept 2 hours a night here and there, and it was always tormented, barely getting to sleep, and then every 2 weeks he crashes for about 15 hours, makes up his lost sleep, and wasn't healthy because of it. And I told him, you know that's not your problem. You know sleep is not your problem. He said, yeah, I know. And as we prayed, God revealed certain things to him that was his problem. And within that time period of the 3 hours I prayed with him, my wife and I together, he was healed so much so the next day he missed my class. He slept in the whole way through it. And then the next day after that, 6 hours of sleep consistently after that. But that was the beginning of his healing. And he says this shouldn't have happened. This shouldn't happen. Scientifically, this shouldn't happen. But he knows there's not a scientific answer. And as we were praying and the things he was seeing, he kept saying, this is so freaky. I just don't. And he like even opened his eyes to see if I had hypnotized him or something. And as these things kept happening, he kept going with it. And he just received this comfort. He received the peace. The things that were tormenting him left. The healing happened. So this sanctuary is something that many of us don't even know exists and is full of junk. And what I want to do today is help you a little bit. You've heard enough sermons probably in your life. Maybe we need some more. But what I want to do today is instead of giving you a sermon, I want to help you enter into some of these things. And for some of you, this will be a beginning of new things. When you're younger, especially in the youth group, you go with expectation, thinking, oh, God might act in some powerful way because some youth leader told you, God's going to do something amazing. But after a while, I've had youth come up to me and say, I'm just so tired of this. People say, God's going to be here, and he never shows up. Nothing ever happens. My prayers still don't get answered. I still have all the same problems. Nothing ever happens. But what I want to tell you is I honestly believe this whole Holy Spirit thing is real. He does live inside of us. And I want to help you to be able to pray through these things and teach you some things as we go through today. So let me begin by praying for us, and then let's get into some prayer for the rest of the service. Lord God, we invite you today in this place. We know you're always everywhere, but we invite you to powerfully come into this place and change our lives. I pray that you'll be merciful to us. We are miserable servants. We serve you, but not as we ought. And we pray that you would guide us, Lord, and help us to get past ourselves, that we might see your power flowing through us and cleansing us. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Right now, I want you to do something a little different. If I can get you to stand up for a second here. Right, some of you are in rows by yourself, some of you are not. But I want you to grab hands of the person beside you. Okay? If there's someone too far away, don't worry about them. And now what I want you to do is just space out a little bit. Pull your hands out like this. My purpose is not to get you together, but to get you apart, okay? So what I want you to do is spread out enough. Okay, and now in a second I'm going to ask you to drop your hands, but I don't want you to let them by your side. I want you instead to bring them up like this. As a child, many of us have been taught to pray like this. So if you let go, bring your hands up like this. Now you'll notice there's nobody around you, okay? This room is often called the sanctuary, and as I'm arguing, the sanctuary is inside of us. But let's just make it a little closer. You have this much sanctuary around you right now, okay? And so now I want you to open your hands up like this. This is a posture of giving and a posture of receiving. I don't know if you noticed, but even when I was worshiping there, I kind of snuck my hands out like this. You know, I wouldn't do this necessarily, but you know, like this. It's interesting how your heart posture will sometimes match your body posture. So what I would like you to do is have your heart's posture match this receiving and giving posture. And we're just going to begin. I want you to close your eyes, and I want to read a few things. I want you to receive these truths. First, A time is coming, and now is, when God's Spirit dwells not only with his people, but within them. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit that's within you. Time is coming, and now is, when God's Spirit seeks to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release those enslaved by darkness. Time is coming, and now is, when God's Spirit seeks to produce the fruit in you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I believe that today God wants to renew this fruit in us individually and all together. In some instances, bringing freedom so that we might receive what God has promised but seems so long out of reach. Keep in mind, as a Spirit-filled Christian, all of these are yours. It's not that you're not gifted with this. Oh, I'm just not gifted with peace. I'm just not gifted with kindness. I've heard people say these things. These are all yours to have. If you have these and you have nothing else, you have everything that a rich man can't buy. And that's worth it. You can go through anything if you have these things. So I'm going to simply reread these things one more time. And as I do, I want you to reflect and seek to receive these things now. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Receive God's love now. Receive his love for you. Receive his love through you. Receive his love for those who haven't loved you, but he can love through you. Receive his joy, welling up from in your soul. Receive his peace. The peace that Jesus says he gives to you, not like the world gives. This peace that you can have even in the midst of war. Receive his patience. A patience that overshadows anger, mistrust, hurt, harsh words. Receive his kindness. This outward gentleness, this outward love toward others. Receive goodness. A goodness that overshadows any evil you've ever done. Receive faithfulness. For those around you who rely on you. Receive his gentleness. This gentleness that knocks off the rough edges, the harshness, the offensiveness. Receive his self-control. Self-control over all sin, over your body, over your mind, not thinking in directions you shouldn't think or places you shouldn't go, but resting in him. Now, keeping your eyes closed now, if you felt the Spirit of God ministering you during this time, could you just raise your hand? Let me pray for you. Lord God, I thank you for the gifts you give. I thank you for the things that are readily available right there for us to have and we miss. At this point, I want the elders to come forward here. You guys can take your seats for a moment. I'm going to do communion here at this point. Jesus, when he came and said, "Come unto me, all you're weak and heavy laden, I will give you rest," My yoke is easy, my burden is light. That doesn't sound like the Christianity we've been told about that talks about it's so hard and you're going to want to quit and you have to push through it. That's not what Jesus says. It's an easy burden. The hard burden is laying down your life. Your hard burden is giving these things over. It's trusting. You remember in the Old Testament, David had this soldier, one of his mighty men, and the sword was fused to his hand. He fought so hard he couldn't let go of the sword, and they had to actually pry the sword from his hand. Well, salvation is just simply surrendering and saying, Lord, enter into me. It's not a matter of you working. It's a matter of the Spirit working through you. At this point, we're going to pass out the communion elements, and I want you to take them. And we have those little cup holders there, the nice little cup holders. I want you, if you feel as though God is ministering to you right now, that you've received something and you're now in a spirit of thankfulness, I want you to drink. And we're going to do this together, but I want you to drink and eat. And those of you who feel like God has begun something in you, you feel, I couldn't receive something. There's something that's blocking here. I want you to hold off. Hold off until we get to that point where you feel like fellowship is being restored in a new way. If you feel like already what you've been ministered to is a new fellowship, something that's drawing you deeper, then partake. But if not, I want you to set it aside. And I want this to be, this communion, I want this to be a meaningful communion to you, something where you truly are having communion. Because that's what, when we talk about communion, it's about this fellowship. Salvation is about abiding. It's about abundant life. And the idea is that we are abiding. So it's not a matter of what our, salvation isn't about doing. It's not about believing. It's about abiding. And there's doing and believing in there. But it's about abiding. So let me pray for us. Lord God, we thank you for giving your son. We thank you for the example he's given us in his life. We thank you for the freedom that he's given us. Not just of a penalty, but a freedom from sin, a freedom to live this life like he lived. And Lord, as we do this in remembrance of you, as you've asked, we pray that you would help us, Lord, to remember you, not as we see you, but as you were, as you are, as you dwell in us and with us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So just use this as a time of reflection. Those of you who receive something, just reflect on that. Feel free to close your eyes, to put your head down, to reflect on what God is doing in you. Those of you who feel like something is yet to happen, it might be yet to happen today. So pray expectantly and see what God's willing to do. Because we've just now practiced a little bit of giving, or a little bit of receiving from God, and now some of us, we need to give something in order to receive something back from God. Not because we have to give something, but because what God wants to give us needs to go in this inner sanctuary, and it's cluttered and it's full of rats. So those of you who aren't eating straight off, just stick it in your bulletin, set it aside, set the bread aside. I'll give you a second to reflect. Now, as I said, don't feel left out if you don't eat right now. I know that this is the way you normally do things, so I want to try to keep as much normal as possible, but I also want to see some supernatural things happen. So those of you who feel like now is the time that God is leading you, yes, I should eat now, let's pray and eat together. Lord, thank you for giving your body for us. Amen. And then he also took the cup and said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you." Now, as we pass around this, I know you kind of have to have your eyes open somewhat because it's coming by and you don't want to miss and spill the plate here. But even with your eyes open, I want you to reflect a little bit. In a moment, I'll ask you with everyone's eyes closed about these things, but I want you to reflect a little bit. Don't raise your hand now because people are looking around. But how many of you felt as though whenever I asked God to give you these things, to receive these things, you felt like there was something hindering you in some way? Just think in your heart about this. Search yourself. Or even better, David says, "Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me." And I've heard somebody at one point say, notice that David's not searching himself, God's searching him. And I thought, well, that's a good point. You know, okay, I'll let God search me. God never seemed to get back with me on that and tell me what was wrong. And so I didn't quite get it. But that was because I hadn't learned to listen in prayer yet. So what I'd like you to do at this point is do something similar to what King David is doing, I believe. What I want you to do is actually don't think about what's wrong with yourself. All right? Don't think about all the things you've done wrong. Instead, what I want you to do is I'm going to pray for your mind to be silenced. At this point now, your mind's not going to be completely silenced because your mind still works. But I want that part of your mind, that's your resting mind, not your thinking mind, but your resting mind, to speak at this point. So I'm going to pray for us here. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would silence our minds, silence external voices, anything that is trying to torment us, anything that is trying to distract us. And I pray that you would wipe these things away and only leave behind that which is this holy place where we communicate with you. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to your people. I pray that we would show them, Lord, is there something that needs to be repented of? Is there something that is hindering them in their walk? And I pray, Lord, that there would be no guilt or shame coming in. We know your spirit doesn't shame us. He convicts us, but he only wants to draw us back to you. And we pray that there would be no guilt, no shame, but there would be a conviction, a holy conviction that guides us with your warmth and your kindness and your love, drawing us back to yourself, Lord, away from the detestable things. I pray that during this time, you would show us what isn't getting in the way of this. What's getting in the way of your spirit working in our lives? On that final Passover of Jesus' life, where he became the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of a world, he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you." Those of you who feel led at this moment, let's drink together. Now, at this point, what I would like to do is those of you who felt something, still be thinking through those things that God has given. But close your eyes once again here. I want to enter back into this. Lord God, I pray that you would help us to have ears to hear. Help us to be honest one with another. Help us not to hide and waste our lives hiding from you. Help us to receive the good things that you have, laying aside the detestable things. I want you to go back and think about when you received and when you were trying to receive these things. How many of you, let's see again, how many of you felt as though you received something? The Holy Spirit ministry, you received something. Keeping your eyes closed. Okay, there's hands all over there. How many of you felt as though you couldn't receive something? Raise your hand. Okay, how many of you felt as though there was something specific? When you got to that one thing, you could receive it all, but you couldn't receive a couple things. Raise your hand. Okay. You're not alone. Many people everywhere raising their hands. How many of you, it was because you felt unworthy? I am unworthy, Lord, to receive from you. Raise your hand. Okay. I'm going to pray for you. Lord God, we know that we're not worthy. We're not worthy to receive anything of you, but your Son makes us worthy. So, Lord, for these people, I pray that you would reveal to them what is the lie that they're believing. I pray that you would just speak it to them now. Show them, Lord, what is the lie that they are believing presently that is keeping them from you? How many of you heard something, sensed something, saw something? Raise your hand. Okay. Now I want you to ask, Lord, what is the truth? How many of you heard something then too? A lot of the same hands. I want you to give that lie to Jesus, and I want you to receive that truth. If it helps, just even picturing whatever that lie looks like, putting it in Jesus' hands. Don't ask him to take it from you. Have your hands open. Allow him to take it in the sense you're giving it to him. Don't pray, Lord, take this from me. Many of us prayed many years, Lord, take this from me. But the problem is, God's a gentleman. He's not going to come into your temple and purge it with a whip. He's going to use living water of the Holy Spirit to wash it out. And so if you've been asking God to take something from you, you've been asking him to do violence to you. And he's not going to do violence to you. He's going to wait until you're ready. So please be ready. Give it to him now. I want you to picture just putting it in his hands. How many of you felt too unclean to receive from God? Wasn't unworthy so much, but it was more unclean. You felt unclean, like I'm too unclean to receive from God. Raise your hand. I want you to picture giving your heart to Jesus. Just picture yourself taking it out and offering to Jesus. Will he take it? If he does, what does he do with it? Look at what he does with it. And if you feel as though you can't give your heart, well, try just giving him the dirt. Take this dirt that is a horrible sacrifice and offer it to Jesus as a sacrifice. For me, what I picture is, if you ever watched Spider-Man, that the Venom character has this sludge that comes over and it crawls over things and it encapsulates it. Just picture pulling it off. Even if you have to use your hand, like visually, just to pull it off, pull it off. And if you can't pull it off, just ask Jesus to pull it off. Will he take it? How many of you, whenever you tried to listen, this phrase kept coming to your head? Over and over, there was this phrase, this word or this phrase that kept coming to your head. Raise your hand. How many of you had a phrase that kept coming to your head? Lord God, I pray that you would show them, where did this phrase come from? Who said it? Where did they first hear it? Lord, is this phrase true? Show them the truth, Lord, about this phrase. If it is hindering you, this is not true. And some of you, the biggest lies you're in bondage to are potential truths because you can't quite disprove them. But God has greater truths for you to accept and to dwell on. Lord, give them a greater truth. The truth that gives them abundant life. The truth that sets them free in this life. How many of you had an image that came to mind? It could be horrific, it could be dirty, it could be something that's demoralizing. How many of you had an image that came to mind you can't get past? You can't get past this image, it just haunts you. Raise your hand. Lord God, I pray that you would blur this image in their minds. I pray that you would sever this image from their minds. I want you to just picture this almost like a Polaroid camera coming out of your mind and pull it out and give it to Jesus. If it's a whole bunch of pictures, just picture it like a movie reel and Jesus pulling it out of your head. Give it to him as a sacrifice. Make room here. How many of you were blocked because there's a strong emotion in the way? You can't get past it. That emotion is there. It lingers. How many of you? Raise your hand. Lord God, these emotions have been here so long. These emotions are justified in many ways. Brought on by hurts or worries or things that people have said. Lord, I pray that you would break through these things, that your kingdom would shine through into their lives. Lord, I pray you would reveal to them, what's the source of this emotion? When was the first time this emotion latched onto them and wouldn't let go? How many of you, this emotion's been there a very long time? Lord God, I pray that you would show them. How do we release this emotion? How do we let this emotion to you? How many of you sense that some of you, it's forgiveness? There's someone you need to forgive right now. Raise your hand. Lord God, people have sinned against us. People have sinned against you. I pray that you would give them strength now to renounce their judgment over other people. Lord, you've said the judgment is yours. So Lord, we give it to you, the righteous judge, to judge others. I want you to give this as a sacrifice to God. Give your anger, whatever emotions you have surrounding this issue that you need to forgive, put that in the hands of God. Trust him that he'll make all things right. Too many of us pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, as though we're praying for the rapture, waiting for that day in Revelation where he wipes away every tear. But Jesus comes and he promises abundant life. This abundant life is supposed to start now. I came to give you life and life abundantly. If you're not living in a powerful, abundant life now, you haven't received what God has to give you. That's why things aren't going your way. What they did wasn't right. But we're not the judge either. And that gives us relief and peace. There's a righteous judge who'll make things right. Lord God, I pray that you would break through these emotions. I pray that you would show these folks what the underlying lie is in these emotions. Or even if there's a truth there, I pray that they would trust in you. Are you willing to take the sword out of your hand and give it to Jesus and surrender, to let him fight your battles for you, for him to be your fortress, for him to be your sword? you are, do that now. Lay your sword at his feet. Allow him to stand between you and those who are against you. How many of you, if you're honest, you would just say, I just don't think I can receive anything because I'm skeptical. I just don't know that God does this. How many would say that? Just raise your hand. Lord God, we need protectors of our congregation. We need people who will test the spirits. We need people who will look into things and see if they're biblical. But Lord, the Pharisees tried that too. They searched the scriptures diligently, know that they held eternal life, but they rejected your Son. May we not be these people. Those of you who are skeptical, I picture you high above in a castle, protected, protecting others. I just want to ask you, is Jesus in your castle with you? And I'm not even talking metaphorically here. I want you to picture this and ask in your heart, is Jesus in your castle with you? And if he is he the Jesus of the Bible or Jesus you've created? All right, now if you'll open your eyes for me. We have a few minutes here, and we have a closing hymn that we're going to sing. Some of you still have your communion elements in front of you here. What we're going to do, we're going to sing a hymn, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to urge you to stay. Some of these things, as I've said, I've prayed with people through things, and I want to be available to you guys to pray through things. I brought a couple people from my prayer team. The elders are here to help pray with you through these things. But if you feel as though God has started something in you, I want you to already stop thinking about lunch, stop thinking about packing up things, and start thinking about today might be the day that God breaks through these things. And some of you, he's already started. But this really isn't the ideal way in front of lots of people for me to guide this many people. It's better one-on-one. It's better in smaller groups. But hopefully it's easy enough to remember my name, drlove@liberty.edu, Dr. Love, Liberty, that's my email address. If you just look me up online, you can find me. But I want you to call me. I want you to email me. I want you to talk with me. I now have, on occasion, strangers who will call me and pray through things and receive healing for things. And it's a different thing for me, but I feel like maybe that's the best use of my time in this life. Maybe that's something that when I get into the next life, that maybe that would be the time best spent. So even though I don't know you, I can say that I love you, which is new, by the way, because up until 2 years ago, I had no compassion for anybody. And so this is a new thing for me, a new kind of love, a new kind of compassion. And it really feels like something when you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, washing you from the inside out. But let's sing our closing hymn, and then we'll come back and finish some things. Thank you.